Good afternoon. I want to welcome our good friends from LIT, Dr. Paul Such, and the folks that work with him. I'm going to let you introduce them shortly. This workshop today, and we apologize to you, we got off into a drawn-out session, but bear with us, if you will. This workshop is to hear a presentation by LIT on the efficacy of having a long-term lease on property owned by Jefferson County, adjacent to the county correctional facilities out by the county jail. The purpose of the lease is for the construction of a joint use-all, the way we printed it, Hazard Regional Public Service and Training Center. That's a mouthful. And what we're going to do today is have a presentation by Dr. Such, and then he will call on some of his other folks to maybe add more detail to that. Doctor, would you like to step up to the podium? All of this is recorded.
May we pass out some information for you?
Yes, sir.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for your time this afternoon. You may or may not be aware of what happened back in 2006 when I first arrived at LIT, so we'll give you a quick overview and update on the status of where our proposal is at this point in time and the county's role up to this point in time. When arriving at LIT and finding out we had the police academy, the fire academy, EMS, paramedic, homeland security, and so forth, we could not find facilities, or I could not find facilities within which we trained. I found classrooms, but I didn't find driving pads, skid pads, firing ranges, towers, other kinds of paramedic activities in terms of ambulance bays and so forth. So we started looking around at the need for and who are we training. And we are serving 9 counties in Southeast Texas and 4 parishes in Louisiana, from which all the incumbent employees come to us for training or have to go elsewhere to other places outside their locale, which causes additional revenue costs to local municipalities and law enforcement agencies and fire folks. And we are looking at a better way to serve the needs of Southeast Texas and to provide training facilities for LIT for now and for future programs. So we talked to Ted Poe, and we said we've got a need for a joint-use, regional, all-purpose, public service and safety training facility. And at that time, we identified what our need was, and we said, would you be willing to sponsor federal legislation for about $25 million to build such a facility? And he said he would. And then we came to Judge Walker and shared that issue with him, and he said that we could work in a partnership and use county land upon which to build such a joint-use facility, so it would be here. And the intent would be that LIT would house its programs there, and the 9 counties and 4 parishes could put their training officers there, and the emergency management folks would then have some sort of centralized area, not to replace the facility you may need for your real emergency management operations day-to-day, but a place in which you could have integrated opportunities for training all such programs from fire, law, EMS, paramedic, safety, and so forth, our homeland security, our corrections officers, everybody would be centralized. So as the integrated approach came from the 9 counties and the 4 parishes, we continued working. We engaged with a local architect to listen to our local communities and their advisory committees and get some renderings together of what something would look like in a physical presence for our presentation to Ted Poe. He took our presentation last year to the Department of Corrections. It made through the Appropriations Committee in Department of Corrections, and it was there in their listing. Of course, legislation and projects and other things were not funded last year to that degree. So at this point in time, we'll be resubmitting that proposal for special project funding through Ted Poe's office again, February, March, for his appropriation for his request as our local representative. Since that time, Sean Davis, and we'll let Sean explain to you what he has provided to us in a way of a request, and then David Mosley, our Director of Institutional Effectiveness and Grants, will share with you what he, at Sean's request, helped us prepare, which was a very short, quick turnaround time with some additional resources that may be able to use to supplement such a project. We're not seeking funding from our Texas legislature through revenue bonds because we have other campus needs that are of a priority nature there on our campus. So this is a totally federally funded initiative at this point in time, and other opportunities they may lend themselves outside the normal structure of the Texas legislature. So at this point, we're still on Ted Poe's agenda. We will be submitting that information. As you read through the information, and I'll share with you quickly, is the letter that we sent to Ted Poe back in December of 07 on page one, and then a draft outline on the next couple pages of the proposal of who would be serving, the number of clients that would be served, which is about 4,000 currently employed individuals, plus all the new hires that would go into all of our law enforcement, fire, EMS, paramedic, homeland security, and corrections programs, which we currently do. In addition, you will find some information there about the number of counties that came together for this partnership. We have a aerial photo of the land that the judge referenced there next to the corrections facility on South 96, and then an EDA grant for pre-application that I'll let Sean Davis explain to you. At the end of this are some additional renderings based on just some visions that architects had about what things may look like, and then about 30 letters of support from the nine county, the municipalities, the judges, the law enforcement agencies, the fire departments that lend support for this project. So we feel very comfortable that that support is there, the need is there, and such a facility would serve not only LIT, but Jefferson County and their fellow counties and other constituents for multiple purposes now and into the future. So that's a real quick overview of what this project is about: training facilities, local facilities, incumbent worker training, and ongoing training services for now and in the future. And this time I'd like Sean to come and explain quickly his request that came to us recently, which was not on the table when we first initiated this proposal.
Hey, Don Ray, while Sean's coming up, I'm having trouble picturing this property. I know we own the property that surrounds the TYC facility. Here's the property I'm envisioning here we no longer own.
I'm not looking to do that.
You know where the firing range is? It's a property that you go into to get to the firing range right off that exit road.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, I was looking on the other side.
No, sir, yeah. We're on the same side as the prisons are now in the firing range. That property that goes all the way up to the fences of the firing range and the cells and prisons themselves.
Okay, Mr. Sean.
Good afternoon, Judge, Commissioners. Happy to be here with y'all this afternoon. The Economic Development Administration, a month or so ago, approached the Regional Planning Commission to assist them in identifying potential projects for some disaster funding that the Economic Development Administration, that Congress had appropriated to the Economic Development Administration. The Texas region, the regional office is located in Austin. And Texas is part of a five-state region. The EDA received about $150 million for the Texas region to address economic development issues or projects in areas of those five states that had been declared federal disasters. So the EDA office in Austin asked us to help them identify some projects that were This is a term that you're hearing a lot right now, but projects that were shovel ready. Okay, everybody wants everything to be ready to go, which infrastructure projects by their nature are not necessarily shovel ready. But fortunately, we were able to assist because, as you all know, we had just done our assessments right after the storms and asked communities to come up with projects that could be considered for critical infrastructure funding. We were able to identify seven projects for EDA to consider. EDA in turn picked four projects off of our list that they felt like were the type of projects they could move quickly and fit into the way they like to do things. EDA, as most of you probably know, they like to do bricks and mortar. That's what they like to do. The Lamar Institute of Technology project was one of the four that they picked out. The first thing that EDA requires, and that EDA looks at is land ownership when they look at a project. They were wanting projects where there weren't any land ownership issues or permitting issues, because their goal was to turn these projects around in 90 days, and we're about halfway through that now. So we contacted Dr. Such and asked him if I could bring the second-in-command guy from EDA by to talk with him. We did, had a really great meeting with the LIT staff. EDA is very interested, but the first thing they noticed was the land ownership issue. And I believe that's why LIT staff's here today to try and resolve that, because if we can't resolve the land ownership issue, then it's a project that most likely can't move forward. That's why we're here. Can I answer anything for you guys?
When you say a land ownership issue, are you referring to just legal rights to have the project built on the land? Are you asking the county to donate the land to LIT for this project?
I mean, because it has to be. I believe we were told that they would accept a 99-year lease as
in lieu of title.
They just want to make sure they put federal funds into a project that there won't be any issues a little bit further down the road. Okay.
Thank you, Sean.
We don't see a problem with a long-term lease commitment putting facilities, because again, this is a joint-use facility in which the municipalities and the college would share. As we expand, as we grow, as we provide additional services and upkeep and maintenance and other things that may come to pass that need to be done, such as the firing range there may need to be expanded, skid pads and other things that are added, and infrastructure, we would work together with the county in terms of maintaining that property as well. I'd like to introduce David Mosley now, who can give you some very specifics about the grant. We first got a phone call to submit $10 million of that $25 million request. Then we got another phone call to make it $25 million and do the whole thing. And when the gentleman showed up, he said the most we could probably do is $3 or $4 million. We took our square footage, we took our renderings, we sat down and spent 2 hours going through this with the architects and through our facility services, Mr. Jack Wiggins. And we ended up determining that the 11,000 or so square foot for the fire part of this multiple purpose facility could be accommodated within that $3 to $4 million funding source that were available. It would also allow us to do the infrastructure to allow the rest of the facility to continue to be built, and as we add chiller plants and physical plants and other things, so it would be a turnkey operation for fire with other things being built on in the modular basis that we sort of put in our mind as a vision of how to do this. So I'll let David talk to specifics about the grant at this point in time. Yes, sir.
Doctor, before you get too far away, let me mention one thing. And we do own the what was previously the Air National Guard facility at the airport. If when y'all start considering all your alternatives and funding options and that sort of thing, certainly we'd be willing to sit down and talk to one. If you look at that facility and figure out that it might be an appropriate facility, there's actually four different buildings there, and I don't recall the square footage, but if you start looking around at other options, please just keep in mind that we do own that Air National Guard facility at the airport.
Thank you. Appreciate that information very much.
Good afternoon, Judge Walker and Commissioners. Basically, what I put together for you is what we submitted to Ted Poe, but also behind, just starting behind the aerial photo, is the pre-application that we submitted to the EDA. And I'll keep it real quick. Basically, the way the process works is they're reviewing them as we sent it in, and if they give us a green light, then they have a whole bunch of other requirements that we would have to submit. So really what we're trying to do in writing the actual application, I copied for you section M.4, which talks about title requirements, and I wrote it in concert with the letter from Judge Walker showing support with a long-term ground lease that would allow us to move forward. So we're really just trying to get our ducks in a row, should they give us the green light, or if the other grant opportunities come up. These things come up and you basically have about 2 weeks to turn them around to try and submit something that's cohesive and is attractive to the funding agency. So as you read through the M.4, you'll just see that it's written in conjunction with Judge Walker's letter of support. And I have any questions you have. We did an estimate of 50 acres, just a round number. We came up with a good in-kind contribution. I think it was $1.6 million so that we could show that there were other funds being associated with the grant, which is a requirement of the grant. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
What's the closest another facility like this one? What's the closest?
As far as the joint use facility, I believe Texas A&M has
A&M,
one.
That's what I
There's
thought.
One in Louisiana as well, and most of that's one of the ways that we were asked to write it, was that our large petrochemical industry has a number of people who are requiring this training, and they're currently spending that money out of our area.
Right.
And so we're trying to, as Dr. Zichin mentioned, we're trying to become a destination as well.
Yeah, and that's a good deal. My brother, he goes to A&M a lot with the refinery. That's
right.
Why I thought it was
similar. That's exactly right. And I'm sure the guys who go probably enjoy it because they're away, but the companies yeah. spend a lot of money on travel.
He's a homebody, so that's right by
okay.
his house.
Great.
Thank you.
Assuming y'all are successful in getting the EDA grant to start out with the first wing, what do you propose for funding for the additional wings at a future date? I mean, I guess just keep applying for the grants, or?
Yes, sir. We are constantly scanning for funding opportunities. The stimulus money that's coming down supposedly is going to be targeted at the county and the city level, so we'll be keeping our eyes open for any additional. As mentioned, though, that bricks and mortar are very difficult to get funded by the federal government. They're always wanting to do training or even equipment, but not bricks and mortar. So it's rare that you find an opportunity like this.
And this question to Sean, what were the other three? Can you elaborate on just briefly what the other three projects are that were approved at this point?
Well, EDA requested that these four entities submit an application. There's a project at the Port of Beaumont, there's a project at the Port of Orange, a project at Lamar University for a research facility, and this LIT project.
And the probability of any of the rest of them getting funded? Any? Would this be the primary project if this moves forward, or has that been decided?
That has not been decided because they haven't been scored yet. They've been invited to apply. But that is a very good indicator that at least we have good potential to be funded.
And I guess the terms of the lease, as far as that goes, would be negotiated or at some point, or is what the expectations on the land?
When George came down, he was actually wanting the county to be a co-applicant on he felt that would have strengthened the actual submission. And we backed off when we heard that because we realized that was not likely to happen in any kind of short order. So we're guessing, really, I'll be honest with you, if we were to get a green light, then this would be something that would have to be taken care of anyway. Now, if we were to be granted a long-term ground lease, then we could inform them that we've taken care of this. We've already got it on our agenda with our board of governor, our TSUS board of regents. So we're trying to get all our ducks in a row so that we can communicate with them and let them know. But as far as an expectation, they haven't communicated back with us to let us know.
Jeff, if I may, I was involved with our negotiations with the feds to get the federal penitentiary here, and under economic development law, we were actually allowed to donate. We purchased that land and donated it to the federal government as an economic incentive to bring those federal prisons here. I don't know if we couldn't do some research and find out this doesn't fall under the same guideline.
Well, you could probably do it under Section 381 of the local government code. The question is, do you want a reversionary interest in the property?
The only other issue I have is
understand more thoroughly what the
Yeah, the question that David answered in terms of why the co-applicant issue, as you heard, we got this on a Friday, they wanted it on a Tuesday. And to get approval from you in 2 days, of course, we can't even, we tried like mad to get this done in 2 days. What we're asking in this workshop is for you to have sort of an understanding of the issue. We don't have a problem being a tenant for 99 years and longer in renewable leases, that kind of thing on the land agreement. And would you be willing to be a co-applicant in a, you know, grant process, knowing that it's your land, it's other facilities, money coming in for buildings, and that the joint ownership is there? I don't know the legal impact of that now or long term, but that's kind of where we are, is a co-applicant issue versus we do it with, yes, there's a land opportunity there and it's not a problem, there's no barrier, it's been approved by the court and things can move forward. If this were to take 2 more years, who the players would be and what the issues would be, and would that be in place? That's the thing we're trying to get now, because sometimes it may take a couple years, Commissioner, to get the rest of those funds to add the rest of those wings on and do what needs to be done. So from private funds and public funds, we're seeking both sources. So we're looking at some sort of approval process that would be appropriate, that we could put in the document for applications, that it's there. We have a letter from the judge now that says, you know, you're willing to do that. You know, again, you would retain ownership, and it's just those nuances that we're not quite sure how, what grant is going to ask for what.
One thing I'm not clear about, and Don Rayo's the man to clarify it, is some of that property out there, we did some swapping around with the prison system. And before we move forward, we really need to verify how much of that land we own, because I can tell you, we've gone through this before, and not all those trades were accurately documented or whatever. I'm just telling you, we need to do a little research, right, and make sure we own the land that we're talking about leasing to you.
Judge, commissioners, if I could offer what I can certainly propose is that we'll get our EDA man on the phone with Jeff, if that's okay with y'all, to find out exactly what type of wording would suffice to keep us in the game. I know that the LIT folks had, because Paul's right, they came in on a Friday and they wanted all this stuff by Tuesday. So Paul and him had actually decided just to back off. I told him, don't back off, okay? This is typical federal government stuff, you know, just stay in the game, because I promise you they're going to find out they can't meet that timeline, and we want to be in the game. So sure enough, we're still in the game, but we need to know if we can get you, with y'all's permission, Jeff will just get you hooked right up with our guy at EDA, so he can tell us exactly the wording he would need, and then we can, but we do need to move as quickly as we can.
Let me ask you this, John, do you think it helps if the county were co-applicants, or does it matter? I'm not suggesting the court would be for that.
It's my understanding it'll work equally well either way. Okay. We just need to understand both scenarios of the lease and the co-application. And,
Yeah. One reason I mentioned it, we do own some other land out there in that general area. We have a significant piece of land that circles TYC facility, has frontage on both the Federal Prison Road and Highway 69. So we just need to figure out what we actually, how much? So we have some options. We just need to make sure we do actually own the piece of land that you're, I don't recall us still owning it, that big a piece of land, but maybe we do.
Don, yeah, the reason the area next to the firing range was selected, because you already have a firing range there, which we already use, and just tying on with what we need and trying to put it all together, that seemed to be the place to say, well, this appears to be appropriate. We don't have a vested interest in any one particular, we're just looking for land. to put something somewhere without wheels that we can move in there and provide the needs for what we need for now down the road.
Actually, LIT, I think, had looked at the second piece of land I'm talking about in conjunction with training for a heavy equipment program or something, because it's a lot of tala trees. We were going to let them go in and basically wipe out the tala trees.
And that particular company and those resources went to Oklahoma.
Sorry, we were
hoping they would stay and come, but they made a U-turn on us after we had taken everything, did everything, and they made a switch and went to Oklahoma.
Don, you're aware of the specific piece of property we're talking about? Okay, let's start with that piece.
Yeah, we need to really nail that down first before I even ask the guy to talk to you. I'm sure we don't
want
to. Yeah. So the agreement can't be just a general land, like Commissioner Domain says, there's other sites. You can't enter into an agreement. You got to have a designated site before you enter into the agreement? Okay.
Ted Poe's representative, Alan Knapp, did come down last year, and Jeff was able to meet with us. He provided us aerial views because they wanted to go see where this land was before they would commit federal funds and take it to the appropriation side for requesting. So we did that under the premise that was a location. He viewed it and thought it was wonderful fit and had ample space for that and potential growth down the road, and so they went ahead and submitted that proposal to Congress.
Paul, did y'all have the land checked for pipeline crossings and all that kind of stuff to verify that did not interfere with your proposed construction? Because that area out there is all interlaced with a lot of pipelines.
I can't answer that question succinctly to say that was done before the answer to us was here's a place we could put you. So I really don't know. I guess that's more research in terms of, is it the prisons, is it yours, is it ours,
and
other
I think on the federal prison project, we relocated buildings about a half a dozen times to try to put their footprints between pipelines.
It's a very serious consideration in this part of the country, and any, you know, tracts of property, especially that close to those storage tanks out there, you know, there's a lot of pipeline crossings in that area. I would certainly hope that y'all would check that out before you could, because there are restrictions
with your
on
staff,
building on those.
Yeah, working with your staff to find out, one, is it available? And if not, are there other options? And then do the ground check to find out what is there and what mitigation would need to be done or other permissions to be received. But thank you for allowing us to share the information with you and to alert us to other property there. Again, we don't have an issue about where it is. We're just trying to find a place to be appropriate and more centrally located to serve the needs of the nine counties.
Well, from my personal perspective, I can't think of any entities I'd rather partner up with than LIT and Lamar University. So if we can get this done, I see nothing but a tremendous benefit to this area.
I'm not sure of your protocol, but I know in the grant process, and we'll find this out, does permission need to have already been given by the court that will take place, where you have it on agenda, you vote for, you know, to be reviewed and subject to other considerations, but something there with a definite commitment, I think, is what they're looking for from us.
And you need that ASAP?
Yes, sir. If Sean's folks call back and say we want to move ahead, and that's an unresolved question, and again, he and Jeff can resolve that through the phone call.
Is there a possibility of getting that on Tuesday's agenda? Yeah, if it's a 99-year lease, or probably some language in it, or so long as the property is used for the described facility.
Jeff, what we've had to do in the past on several projects was to hire someone like Sam Smith, Smith Corp, to do a fair market lease analysis. But see, I don't know if this applies, since this is a educational institution, a public institution, I don't know if that applies, but in many cases we have to come up with what's called a fair lease market value. What's the term, Eddie?
Fair market value.
But I don't know what discretion we have, since this is for a educational institution, public service type project.
Go into a cooperative allow for
right.
Jeff, hold on. The interlocal, 381 would mean that we would have to put certain funding into it, right?
No.
Okay, you said we're going to have joint use of it. What do you mean joint use of it?
I mean that Jefferson County, emergency operations personnel and others, my understanding.
Yeah, all of your first responders and public service and safety employees, your sheriff's departments, your fire departments, your police departments, they could put their training officers there. They could build offices within those facilities would be built. They could staff. But if they need to come together for integrated activities, they could put things there. They could use it for in-service training that they're doing on their own with the facilities that aren't available. So we're just trying to make it a destination for all of us to have together.
Sounds wonderful. Sean?
Judge, can I make one more comment, please? I mentioned the land ownership issue is a showstopper for EDA. In addition, another showstopper is if there are environmental concerns on the piece of property.
It's what?
Environmental issues or concerns on the piece of property. So it might be helpful while we're looking at ownership, if we could figure out when the last time was, maybe somebody took a look at pipelines
don't
or.
Mention the nuclear waste.
I'm just saying. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we got a lot to do in a short time to do it.
Yes.
When we were widening Westport off the road, and all those environmental assessments, our consultant came back to us and said the